It is so very good to see all of you that are here this morning. We do have a few people that are visiting. You're always our most welcome, our most honored guest. It is always our hope to make you feel so welcome that you'll want to come back and worship God together with us again whenever you're able to come and be with us. Before I get into the sermon, I personally want to thank this congregation. Your kindness, your love is truly overwhelming. And being here for Linda and I in our difficult times, you'll never know how much it means to us and how much we actually love all of you so much. And by the way, somebody left me a bag of tithes in my office. I don't know who you were, but thank you. I seem to have this thing for tithes. I jokingly sometimes say, I hope I don't go to hell because of how many tithes I have. But whoever left me the tithes, thank you. I'm wearing one this morning. The sermon this morning is going to be a study of the resurrection of Jesus and how his resurrection gives us a living hope of the reality of the resurrection that is coming in the future. But before we get to the resurrection, we need to start with the reality of death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. According to Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2, it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting. And because the living will lay it to heart that this is the end of all men. Funerals are not something that are fun to go to. But we go to them often because throughout our life we have people around us, people we love, people that are close to us, people that are family, die. And we have to go to the funeral, or we choose to go to the funeral to pay respect to them. And when we're at the funeral, it slaps us in the face again that one day it's going to be our funeral. It will be my family, my friends that are gathering together to pay respect to me at my passing. And so whenever we think about the reality of our life, we need to realize and face the reality of our death. Death is part of our world because of sin. As a result of sin coming into the world, all death and all suffering came into the world because of that. And again, over in Ecclesiastes in chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, no one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. And no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. Now, you may do the best you can to go to the doctor, try to hang around a while. I'm an expert at that. You're going to go to the doctor. You're going to try to find all kinds of medicines, all kinds of little ways you can stay alive longer. Okay, that's fine and good. And the Lord may grant you to stay alive a little longer, but in the end, you're going to pass. Your time will come. You don't know when your time is going to be. But please face this reality. Everybody here this morning, even the children, we're all going to die. Well, we're going to die. We're not going to die at the same time, probably, unless there's an atomic bomb. We're going to die at different times. We're going to finish our races at different times. Over in the Hebrew letter, it says in chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Now, you may not like this reality, but that's the truth. You are going to pass from this life. But the last part of the verse is something we really need to focus in on, and that is, after you pass from this life, the next thing that's going to happen to you finally is going to be judgment. We're all going to stand before God, and we're all going to have to give account of our lives and our actions and what we've done in this life. I don't know about you, but sometimes thinking about judgment kind of scares me. Matter of fact, it scares me a lot. You know why? Because I've sinned. And I know that if I get what I deserve, I will be forever separated from God. We've been singing this morning, by the way, Steve, wonderful songs. We've been singing this morning about the crucifixion of Christ, the reason for the crucifixion was because we have sinned. And God realized that sin, if it remained on us, would forever separate us from him. And so come to realize God loves you so much that he gave his son to die for you. But the gospel and the good news does not end at Christ crucified. That's the main part of it, obviously. But as you go further into the gospel, a major part of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus. From Matthew chapter 28, 5 through 7, it says, I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. After Jesus was crucified for our sins, they buried him, and 3 days later, there was a great earthquake. The angels came and rolled back the stone, and Jesus rose from the dead. Now, the enemies of Jesus tried to spread this lie that the disciples of Jesus stole the body. All you have to do is produce the body of Jesus, and Christianity is dead. It ends right there. But the reason they could not find the body of Jesus is because the disciples did not steal it. He actually did indeed rise from the dead. The empty tomb is the evidence of the resurrection of the Christ. But not only the empty tomb, there are individuals who saw Jesus alive after he was crucified. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 through 8. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the heart and the core of Christianity. Christ crucified for our sins so that when judgment day does come, our sins can be forgiven and we can stand before God blameless and holy and pure. I told you earlier, whenever I look to the judgment, I feel kind of upset about it, afraid about it, greatly afraid about it, because I know I've sinned. And the only hope I have is Christ crucified in the blood of the Christ to where I can stand before God forgiven. That's the only way we can be allowed to have eternal life in heaven with God, is for us to be forgiven through the power of the blood of the Christ. But again, as I told you earlier, the gospel does not end at Christ crucified, because after he was buried, 3 days later he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. And he was seen by individuals after this. And verse 5, and that he was seen by Cephas. If you don't know, that's Peter. And then by the 12, there's all the apostles together. And then he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to this present, but some have fallen away. Now you may observe this, that these two of these accounts, the one of Cephas all by himself, and the one of the 500 brethren, you don't find the 500 brethren in the Gospels. This is a particular piece of information that's given to us only in Corinthians, of the 500 brethren that he appeared to at one time. But what you have here is a few of the individuals. This is not everybody. These are just accounts of everybody, of some of the people that saw Jesus. And one of them in verse 7, and after that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles, and last of all he was seen by me also as the one born out of due time. Actually, I have an entire sermon on the resurrection of Jesus. It has to do with all the witnesses. And it breaks it down and goes through the entire resurrection. This is a text that summarizes it quickly, trying to make the point that his resurrection is not something that they made up. That there are witnesses to the resurrection. The apostles are witnesses. And there's over 500 individuals that were witnesses. And Paul himself was a witness. Think about the Apostle Paul, if you will. Why would the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who was leading the persecution against the church, why would he go from persecuting the church to becoming a preacher? Has his much learning made him mad, as he was accused of? No. But the reason he went from being a persecutor to being a preacher was because he had actually seen the risen Christ. These men, the apostles, who gave testimony and witnesses of the resurrection, they all, except John, died for their faith in horrible forms of death. They did not renounce their witness. They died believing and testifying as witnesses that Jesus rose from the dead. Those of us that are Christians, now listen real close to this, we believe the witnesses. We believe they are telling us the truth, that they actually did see Jesus after he was crucified, after he was buried, after he rose from the dead, they saw him alive. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15, verse 20 through 21. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And then verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. We open the sermon by going over to Romans chapter 5, and we learn how sin came into the world and death by sin. So that was through Adam that sin came into the world and death. But now we learn that through Christ comes the resurrection of the dead. Death came into the world by one man, but now the resurrection of the dead came into the world by the other man, Jesus the Christ. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Cunningly devised fable is the idea, okay, Jesus is dead, they've buried him, and so now the disciples get together, the apostles get together and say, okay, guys, he's dead. What are we going to do? He's dead. Okay, I tell you what we'll do. We'll all go steal the body first, and then we'll tell everybody he rose from the dead, okay? And then we'll tell everybody we're his apostles and God is speaking through us. That sound good? Okay, let's do it. No, no, and again, no. Christianity is not a cunningly devised fable. It is not make-believe. This is the truth. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who did die for your sins. He was buried, and he did rise from the dead, conquering death itself. And the apostles are eyewitnesses. And they're testifying as to what they saw and what they heard pertaining to Jesus. I believe the witnesses. Everyone who in reality is a Christian believes the witnesses about the resurrection of Jesus. In John chapter 20 and verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Poor old Thomas got stuck with the name Doubting Thomas. He said, unless I put my hand in the point where the spear went in and put my finger in the point where the nails were in, I won't believe. Notice what Jesus says to him here, though. Thomas, you've seen, because you've seen, you believe. But then he talks about another group of people who are going to believe, yet have not seen. Who's he talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. We have not seen Jesus, but we believe the testimony of those who did see him. In Romans chapter 10, and speaking about Christianity and what is required of us, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I want to go back to that. I want to make a few comments about this. I was reading in the paper the other day that there are folks out in the world who call themselves Christians. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the miracles of Jesus. They don't believe in the resurrection, and they call themselves Christians. Now listen real close. You're not a Christian. You cannot be a Christian without believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, believing in the virgin birth, believing in the resurrection. If you confess it and you believe it, then you'll be saved. So it comes down to this question. Do you actually believe Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe he's the Son of God? If you answer that question, I'm not sure, you need to get with me and let me study with you, and I'll explain to you why I believe what I believe about Jesus. The miracles, the prophecies, the resurrection have led us to believe, those of us that are Christians, that he really is the Christ. He really did die for my sins, and I'm so grateful and thankful that he did. Because judgment is coming. And he really did rise from the dead. Going to the next verse in John 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And then he goes in verse 26 and says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now again, notice the question here. Do you believe this? Do you believe that because Christ died and rose from the dead, that we have the hope of our resurrection? Please answer that question. Do you believe that the resurrection of all mankind is coming? I do. You know why I believe it? Because I believe Christ died and rose from the dead. Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, 1 Thessalonians. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. I have done a lot of funerals in my life. But it was the time that I did my father's funeral. This verse became mine. And it became mine on another day, and that was when I did my mother's funeral. And it became mine Friday again, when I did my father-in-law's funeral. Look at the verse and break it down with me again. Notice he says here, he doesn't want you to sorrow as others who have no hope. You're going to sorrow, you're going to grief. I have grief right now. I have sorrow. I feel like my heart is being squeezed. And I see my wife crying right now, and it's being squeezed harder. Because a loved one has passed from this life. I've told you all this before. I'm going to tell you again. Your grief is going to be directly proportioned to the depth of your love. And if you love someone deeply, you're going to grieve deeply, and you're going to hurt, and you're going to have sorrow. But those of us that are Christians, we have something that we can cling to, and that is the hope of the resurrection. Notice the conditional word if here. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again. So I got a question for you. Do you believe it? Yes. He did rise from the dead. I believe it. It is not a myth. It is not a pie in the sky. It is reality. He rose from the dead. He is going to come again, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Our loved ones have finished the race ahead of us. Your son finished the race ahead of us. Your husband finished the race ahead of us. Your loved ones finished the race ahead of us. Okay. But they're with the Lord, which is far better. I wouldn't bring him back if I could. Because where they are is where we're trying to get to. We still got race to run. But listen, we're going to all be together again. You'll see them again. You'll see them again. You'll see them again. The Lord did rise from the dead. The resurrection is real. And we're going to all finally be together where there is no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. Peter says in 1 Peter through the Holy Spirit, in chapter 1, 3 through 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Notice how he describes our hope here. It is a living hope. It's real. Hope changes everything. Because we believe the resurrection is coming, it changes everything. You're going to sorrow. You're going to grieve. That's the natural part of love. During this time when you grieve and you have sorrow, cling to the hope of the resurrection. Through the eyes of faith, look to the future of the reunion. Through the eyes of faith, look to the time when he talks about how when the inheritance is given to us and it is undefiled, it does not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for us, folks. Heaven is real. Eternal life is real. The resurrection is real. And it's coming. In those moments when you're hurting and when you're grieving, put your eyes on the resurrection. Put your eyes on heaven. Put your eyes on the time that is coming. And listen, folks, by the way, the Bible class on Wednesday night was awesome. Our life is like a vapor. You're here for a little while, and you're gone. The way David put it, just a step between me and death. All right. We got a little bit of race ahead of us. Not much, like a vapor. It's going to be gone. And then comes the resurrection. Because when the judgment comes is when the resurrection comes. And those who are in Christ, we're going to rise first. And we're going to be called up to be with the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord together. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Yes, I believe it. And I'm going to cling to it till my death. And when I finish my race, don't grieve for me. I'm in the Lord. I'm doing the best I can to run my race to the end. So come join us. Finish your race in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ as quick as you can. You need to figure out who Jesus is. You need to get serious about this. Who is he? You need to study the scriptures about the miracles and the virgin birth. You need to study the scriptures about the prophecies. You need to come to the conclusion he really is the Christ. He knows me. He died for me. And he really rose from the dead. And the resurrection of the living, it's coming. It's real. Hebrews says in chapter 6 and verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure, steadfast. Got away from it. The anchor of the soul. The idea, it's anchored behind the veil that's in heaven. And so it's sure, it's steadfast. And so in your life, you're going to go through storms, okay? You may be in the middle of a storm right now. What keeps us from being beat on the rocks and beat to pieces is our hope. Hold fast to it. Cling to it. It will keep you from being beat to pieces in what little life you have ahead of you. You got life ahead of you? Okay. Now run it. Now live it. Live it to the glory of God. And then when you pass, you finished your race. All those who have finished the race ahead of us, we're going to all be together. And when the resurrection comes, folks, we're going to receive a spiritual body, and it's never going to die. There aren't going to be funerals in heaven. There's not going to be pacemakers in heaven. There's not going to be any kind of surgery, any kind of illness, any kind of pain. It's going to be eternal life with God. Together, finally, with all of our loved ones who have finished the race ahead of us. Now, 1 Corinthians, again, going back to verse 15. Verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. This is a very interesting part of the Word of God that tells us about the resurrection and that you've got another body that's coming. Yeah, you know, my body here is kind of beat up pretty bad. You know, some people look at me and they say, you look young. You ought to look underneath this shirt. I look old. Are you tired of your body? Those of you that are older and hurting and falling apart, you got a spiritual body ahead of you. And it is, the text says, it's incorruptible, it's glorious, it's raised in power. Every time I come across this text, I remember a brother in Christ in Texas, and he said, Wayne, am I going to be taller? I don't know. Quite frankly, I don't know what we're going to look like, but I know we got a spiritual body, and it's real. You have one. It's real and coming in your future when the resurrection comes. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. When the resurrection comes is when you receive it. Going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again, verse 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Notice the closing of this verse. Comfort one another with these words. Does God know you're going to have loved ones die?
Yes.
He gave us this part of the Word of God for these moments precisely when it happens. Because when it happens, it's going to rip your heart out. It's going to make you hurt deeply in your heart. And you're going to feel grief and you're going to feel sorrow so deep it's difficult sometimes to function. Okay. Comfort one another with these words. There's going to come a time in our future when we're all going to be together again. It's coming. It's real. And I'm clinging to it. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing my mom and my dad again. I'm looking forward to seeing her, my wife's dad again. I'm looking forward to seeing my grandmother again. I'm looking forward to seeing Ben again. I'm looking forward to seeing all of your loved ones who have finished the race ahead of us. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord and my Savior, Jesus the Christ. I can't wait to see him face to face, to thank him for what he did for me and for what he's done for all of us, to where he's made it possible for us to finally be with him. 1 Corinthians now, amazing text, allows us through the eyes of faith to look at this moment that's coming in our future. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. All right, I got to figure out. I picked out on you, Steve. You're the first one I looked at, and you blinked. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and that's how quick it took Stephen here to blink, that quick, we're going to be changed. You're going to be changed. What you see right here, this is not going into heaven. It's going to return to dust. What's going to go into heaven is the spiritual body God gives you at the resurrection. Going back to 1 Corinthians 15:57, I want to read from the outline now. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The text here is talking about the reality of death. The reality of death is real. You face it over and over and over and over again. You're going to grieve. You're going to hurt over and over and over again. But God has given us the victory over death. And the victory over death is going to be the resurrection. And the reason, the cause, and the power of the resurrection is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we've lost battles in death and sin. But we're going to overcome sin through Christ crucified, and we're going to overcome death through Christ raised. We're going to have the victory, not Satan, and not sin, and not death. Acts 24:15. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So, again, I come back to asking all of us this question. Do you believe? Here he says, I have hope in God. What is he talking about? That there's going to be a resurrection. Do you have this hope? If not, why not? Don't you really believe Jesus rose from the dead? Don't you believe that the resurrection is coming? Then if you say yes and yes, realize, I'll see you later. I'll see you later. On this side, we got more service to our Lord and our King and our God. Finish your race in Christ. Die in the Lord. And in the end, we will all be with the Lord. We'll close with John 5, 29 through 30. And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I told you earlier about it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And how I feel apprehensive about that. And how I even have fear about that. And quite frankly, I'll tell you why again. As I told you earlier, I've sinned. I deserve to go to hell. And I know that. But God loved me so much, He didn't want that to happen. So He gave His Son to die for me at Calvary. And Jesus loved me so much, He didn't want me to go to hell. So He voluntarily went through everything He went through. And He died on the cross so I could have my sins forgiven. The only hope I have of being with God is to be forgiven. The resurrection is coming whether you believe in it or not. Judgment is coming whether you believe in it or like it or not. You cannot change reality. I'm trying to explain to you what is reality of our world. Death and where it came from and how we're going to overcome death is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and by our faith in Him that He actually is the Christ, the Son of God who died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Do you believe it? If you do not, please come and study with me, and I will try to help bring you to your own point of your faith, to where you then can become a Christian by confessing your faith, putting your trust in God, repenting of your sins, and being baptized into Christ. You need to be in Christ and die in Christ, and in your life as a Christian, run by faith and live by faith all the way to the close of your life. I've done many funerals. I hate doing funerals with people that I know are not Christians. I hate it. Don't want to do it. But when I have someone who's a Christian, hope changes everything. I had a reputation in Lindell, Texas, as being the crazy man in the stadium. If I came to a basketball game, you heard me. If I came to a football game, you heard me. If I came to a track meet, you heard me. When I cheered, people heard me. And so when my daughter was in track and she was running the race, I was the one up there screaming like a madman, go, go, go. And whenever she crossed that finish line, I screamed and hollered with absolute jubilee. All right. Our loved ones finished the race. For them, yeah, you finished your race in Christ. That's what it's all about. And I rejoice for them. Now, we got more race to run. The way to begin your race is by obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian. After you become a Christian, hold on to your faith, hold on to your hope, hold on to your godly fear, hold on to your love, and by those, keep His commandments in your life. Keep the commandments of God in your life. And die in Christ. Finish your race in Christ. And when the resurrection does come, and it is coming, you'll be raised to eternal life. You'll be raised to be with all of those who have finished the race ahead of you in Christ, to where we will all finally be together. I believe that heaven is real, and I believe and I intend on being there and hoping to see you there as well. We're not going to finish the race at the same time. Okay? We're not going to die at the same time. We're going to be grieving at one another's funerals. But when those moments come, do not sorrow as others who have no hope. Cling to the hope. Through the eyes of faith, look to the future. Look to the resurrection and see through the eyes of faith the great reunion. Thank you for your kind attention. Is anybody here this morning who is not a member of the one body? As I told you, in order to become a Christian, to be in Christ, you've got to believe Jesus really is the Christ. Those of us that believe this, we don't believe it just because of our culture and our family. We've studied the scriptures. We've studied the prophecies and seen them fulfilled in Jesus. We've read about the miracles that he did. We've read about the virgin birth. We've read about the witnesses of his resurrection, and we believe it's the truth. And because we believe it's the truth, we actually believe someone we've never seen. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. The virgin birth did take place. And as the Christ, he loved me so much. He died on the cross so I could be with him in heaven. And my loved ones who have died in Christ, we could all be together. He did that for us because he loved us. If you believe this about Jesus, come forward and confess your faith. Repent of your sin, that is to follow the word of God by faith in your life. And we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ. You will then be in Christ. You stay in Christ. You die in Christ, living by faith all the days of your life. And when the resurrection comes, you're ready. When death comes, you're ready. If you're in Christ already and you realize there's sin between you and God, deal with it and deal with it now. Don't procrastinate about your soul's eternal destiny. If there's sin between you and God, deal with it. If you're a child of God, take it to God, confess it to him, and turn from it and pray for forgiveness. The blood of Christ is there for you, and God will forgive you. We'll pray for you, and we'll pray with you as your brethren. Do the best we can to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know where we stand and sing the psalm that has been selected.